I want to welcome you to Newcastle Fellowship Baptist Church tonight. For those of you who don't know who I am, I'm Pastor Jacques, and we want to present to you the true message of Christmas. And before we do, I'd like to read a passage from the book of the prophet Isaiah. It says, "To us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." Prophecy of the coming of Christ. And the scripture says that God's zeal, the zeal of God Almighty, would accomplish his purpose. Let's just ask the Lord to be with us tonight and bless our time together. Father, thank you and praise you so much that you are truly the Lord. And Father, we thank you that you promised way back in the book of Genesis that you would send a Savior into this world who is Christ the Lord. We pray that as we present the message of the gospel tonight in music and in a play and in a small message at the end, Father, that Christ would be honored and glorified, that your people would be drawn into a deeper and closer relationship with you. And if there's anyone here tonight who doesn't know Jesus in a personal way, that Father, tonight you would speak to that heart and draw them to the foot of the cross, and we'll give you thanks and praise for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
about the ones in the back. Want to go get the ones in the front now?
Yeah, sure. Let's go around front. Hey, thanks so much for your help. If it weren't for you, I don't know who'd get on my roof.
No problem.
Hey, I'll just grab this stuff over here.
Hey, is that the house you were telling me about? The one across the street?
Oh, yeah, that's the house.
They leave their lights on all year long?
They leave their lights on all year long. Come check it out.
They leave their lights on all year long.
All year long. Oh, and get this. They change the lights according to the different seasons.
Get out.
Can't. Wish I could.
So, like Canada Day?
They're red and white.
Thanksgiving?
Harvest colors.
Halloween?
Black and orange.
Remembrance Day?
Camouflage.
Get out.
Can't. Wish I could.
That's gotta be so embarrassing for the neighbors.
Oh, us? The neighbors? We're embarrassed. We complain about it all the time. Oh, and the worst part is, when there's no holiday season to celebrate, they turn those little lights into red hot chili pepper lights.
What? Give me one good reason why we should celebrate the pepper.
Can't. Wish I could.
It's like your neighbor's a Motel 6.
I know. My wife, she's always saying, oh, you just leave the lights on a little bit longer. Let's stay in the spirit of things. But when Christmas is over, you take your lights down. Am I right?
I don't know, man. I mean, I'm not even the right person to ask. I don't even put lights up on my house.
But why don't you put lights up on your house?
I don't know. I'm afraid of heights. But the question is, why do you put lights up on your house?
You know, to celebrate the birth of Christ, Christmas, that kind of stuff.
Well, there you go. There's your answer.
What?
If you don't want to celebrate Christ all year round, then take your lights down.
No. You're putting words in my mouth. You're siding with my wife.
Hey, I'm not siding with anyone, man, and I'm sorry. I didn't know that you and God were, you know.
On the outs?
Yeah.
God and I, we're not on the outs. We're tight. Very, very tight.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Prove it.
Prove what? Are you daring me to leave my lights on all year long?
No, dear, man. I'm just saying. Gonna let your little light shine.
Man that ladder, my friend.
What?
Yeah, man that ladder. We're gonna get back up there and hang these lights.
No, I was just joking.
Oh, yes, and this is gonna become a proclamation of my faith in Christ.
Didn't you hear? I'm afraid of heights. And you're seriously gonna leave your lights on all year long.
Yeah.
You're going to be ridiculed for that, you know. You're going to be laughed at. People are going to talk about you behind your back. You're going to be the second one of that guy.
I know.
All right. Why the change of heart?
Well, you see, that's just it. It's a heart thing. And if I don't change now, and if I don't do something now, I'm only going to become this empty shell with nothing of substance on the inside, only caring what everybody else thinks and not what the real reason is.
Are we still talking about lights?
Yeah, and I'm going to let these lights shine. Hey, what are you doing later?
Not much. Why?
Do you want to hit up a coffee shop?
Sure. Why not?
Cool. Hey, have you ever thought about the Christmas stories?
Fifteen hundred years of trying to obey the law of Moses. Not one law, 500 laws. My parents, my grandparents, and more than 15 generations have tried in vain to be perfect. More than 15 generations of souls have suffered in the wretched prison of the law. Every time we sin, we must sacrifice a lamb. Again and again. Endless sacrifice. Endless blood. And now, it's my turn. Now it's my soul that is in prison. Now it's my turn to sacrifice. Hundreds of years ago, the prophet Isaiah said, one day a Savior will come and set us free. I need that Savior. Please, God, I need my Savior to come. Now. Joseph? He was at the temple sacrifice. The never-ending sacrifice. The law is impossible to keep.
I know. So, did you tell Joseph what you told me?
He said he'd love to have a son first, too.
I'm sure every carpenter would love to have 10 sons.
And then he said, it didn't matter how many sons we have, as long as one of them has my eyes.
Well, you must have heard that line somewhere.
Or maybe he just loves my eyes.
It's because your eyes are deep and pure, and they proclaim your deep devotion to our great God.
Thank you, Ruth.
You're welcome.
Would that be another favor? that make this moment a dream. Would that float you come by discovering revelation? All I know is I can hardly breathe. Would it be alright if he has my eyes? Who am I that heaven even knows my name? Who am I to hear angels proclaim that God would choose me, that he
All citizens of the Empire of Rome, lend me your ears. An official decree has come down from your king, Caesar Augustus. A census shall take place throughout this Roman state, and every man shall take his family to the city of his birth. There you will register, and if you don't concur, then you will have to serve as prisoner. Now which would you prefer?
Sweetheart. Sorry I'm late.
Oh, not a problem. How's the little one this morning?
Oh, I think I'm getting too old for this. I don't know what God was thinking giving me a baby now, after all these years.
I'm sure he was thinking you'd be a great mom.
Well, I don't feel so great during those 2 a.m. feedings, that's for sure. Is Gabe in the back?
Yep, he's still in the back digging for more Christmas decorations.
Christmas is 2 days away, and he's still decorating? Well, that's Gabe for you.
I've never seen anyone love Christmas like Gabe does.
Ho, ho, ho! Merry almost Christmas. Do you guys like it? What? I thought it'd be fun. You know, maybe bring in some business?
Or scare it away.
Well, it is kind of itchy and hot.
Why do you like Christmas so much, Gabe?
I like Christmas. I mean, what's not to love? There's the smell of the evergreens through the doorways, the popcorn garlands, families coming together, there's the carolers, and what's that thing I'm missing? No, I love celebrating Jesus, and I love celebrating it with the world in an obvious way. And, you know, what a way to do it, and with decorations that honor him, and, you know, outfits that, Santa Claus was a jolly guy, and I'm sure Jesus was too, and he certainly knew how to give out the gifts.
Hey!
Hello.
Morning, gentlemen.
Hi, good morning.
Gabriel, you tell Walter here he needs to be at Mary's concert on Christmas Eve.
Oh, you guys just lay off me.
You can't make it, Walt.
It's not that he can't make it, he won't make it.
Well, maybe he has a good reason.
Well, if you call reruns of MASH a good reason, maybe he does.
Come on, Walter, join in the Christmas spirit for once. Besides, if you don't show, you're going to make a little Mary here cry herself to sleep on Christmas Eve.
Oh, give me a break. Mary, are you going to cry if I don't come to your little show thingy?
Well, I don't know about try.
See, Mary says it's fine. Now, would you guys just lay off?
But it may just ruin Christmas morning for me.
Oh, come off it.
She may even lose the will to open presents.
Now look what you've done.
I don't know if I'll be able to muster up the strength to eat Christmas dinner either.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
Walter, I think you need to call your municipal leader and ask to have Christmas wiped off the calendar forever.
Joke all you want, but I'm not going. Well, Mary, you're a sweet girl, and I appreciate the invitation, but this Christmas, I'm just going to lay back and watch the twinkling lights on my television.
Well, you said the same thing each year since Muriel passed away. Can you make it this one time?
No, I will not, and I kindly ask you guys to quit bugging me. Now, whose turn is it?
I wouldn't count him out just yet, Mary. If I were to put money on it, I'll bet he'll show up after all.
Well, I'm afraid that's a bet I wouldn't be so willing to take, Beth. He's just so hard-nosed against it all things church and Christmas and God.
Well, do you blame him? I know you guys don't know Walt so well, but I do. And he had a rough upbringing. I mean, life in and out of the foster homes, his lips in the back of the cop car. There's a lot of anger in him. But, you know, there's a mind as sharp as a tack, and a heart of gold in there somewhere, too. Sound like someone you used to know, Mary?
Someone I used to know all too well.
When Walt met his wife, he changed, but, I mean, it was all for her. Her faith just kind of became his. Guess that's what attracted him to her. But when she died, what little faith Walt had just kind of died with him. And he doesn't know it, but he's been searching for faith in something ever since. Mary, that's why he needs to be here Christmas Eve. I mean, he needs to hear the story of Jesus, but he needs to hear your story, too.
So, you're saying we should just kidnap him and drag him here?
Gotta love duct tape.
No, but really, Walt thinks he's closed the door on this one, but where a door is closed,
God has opened a window.
I've said that before, huh?
Once or twice.
Well, just look for that window.
Oh, it's cold out there.
Well, if you wanted someplace warm, you should have got on a different flight.
Here, let me help you with that.
Oh, thank you. Thank God for hot coffee, right?
Oh, yes. In this business, we thank him every day for it.
Thank him for that snow? It's really starting to pile up out there.
Well, when I'm sitting inside by a cozy fire with a nice hot cup of coffee for it, I thank him for it. When I'm trying to drive through it or shovel my walk, not so much.
Hello. What can I get for you?
A caramel latte. Extra hot.
Same for me.
Okay. Remind me again why we didn't go somewhere tropical this time.
Because last time we did that, you got food poisoning. Besides, I've never been here before.
Well, I'm beginning to see why.
Abby.
Well, next time, food poisoning or not, let's go somewhere hot, like the sun.
Well, if this snow ever does let up, we'll be home in time for Christmas.
Ew, giddy.
Abby.
Oh, come on, Shep. You're not honestly excited about that, are you?
Well, yeah.
Between my divorced parents and your may-as-well-be divorced parents and all the bickering and blaming and guilt trips about whose house we went to first, I'd rather get stuck here.
Be careful what you wish for. There's no sign of the stopping anytime soon.
Well, I wouldn't mind. At least then you couldn't drag me to some long and boring church sermon where everyone's crammed into seats like sardines on Christmas Eve. What is it about Christmas that brings the Jesus out in everyone?
Well, I think it's the hope, Abby. Christmas brings hope and happiness and joy. Don't look at me like that. I know I sound like I'm reciting a Christmas card, but it's true. I know your Christmas growing up was never really like that, but it can be. And it should be. I hope our Christmases together can be like that now that things have changed.
James Shepherd, you're not the same as when I marry you.
Oh. I'm sorry.
No, I mean, like, that's a good thing. I've always loved you, but ever since you started doing this whole church thing, I don't know, you're less of the stuff that used to really tick me off. I guess you've changed in a good way.
Well, I hope so. Christianity isn't just about Christmas and Easter, you know. A lot of great stuff in between.
Sounds like a lot of long and boring church sermons wait in between. No one wants to endure that. No one wants to sit there fainting. Holier-than-thou preacher tells you how horrible a sinner you are. Well, really, he's just the worst hypocrite of all of them, either dipping his hand into the collection plate or eyeing some other man's wife or something like that.
Abby, it's not always like that. Sure, it happens. There's probably a Bible beater in every congregation, but that's not Jesus. Those people have got it wrong, and they mess it up for everybody. It's not the picture Jesus painted when he walked on earth, and that's why celebrating Christmas and Easter is missing the point.
Missing the point?
You get two pictures of the Christ. One as a cute baby boy, and one of a man bleeding and dying on the cross. What happens in between those two things matters a lot. What happens in between paints a picture of what our purpose here on earth is. You know, people will always ask, what's the meaning of life? The answer is in between Christmas and Easter.
You know, I don't think I could have said it any better myself. Sorry, I kind of overheard that last part of your conversation.
Oh, yeah, that's not a problem. I know we're talking pretty loud.
Oh, no, we definitely encourage that kind of conversation here. My name is Gabriel, and this is my coffee shop.
Hi, I'm Chef. This is my wife, Abby.
Can I get you guys anything else?
Oh, no, thank you.
All right.
No, thanks, in fact. We better get going. Get some rest for an early flight tomorrow.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Hey, Mary. Go give it to them.
But they're leaving tomorrow morning.
That's okay. Sometimes it's just the invitation that counts. Just give it to them.
Hi. I'm Mary, and I know you're both planning on leaving tomorrow, but just in case, this is a flyer for my show tomorrow night. It's here, and coffee starts at 7:30.
All right. Thank you. Well, just in case, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Just in case.
I need a room for the night.
Sorry. I'm full. Drive up the road.
I've already been up the road. Please, my wife is great with child.
I told you. I have no room.
But she'll deliver tonight. Please understand.
I understand perfectly. Now you must understand. I have no room.
Joseph, let's go.
But sir, this is a special baby.
Look, I don't care if the baby's the Messiah. I said there's no room.
No room.
My dearest Ruth, I greet you in the name of our Almighty God, who has shown His favor by allowing me to give birth to my firstborn son and our Savior, Jesus. My heart leaps for joy to think that He is the Messiah we've been waiting for to set us free. Sadly, there was no room for us in the inn, but one innkeeper was gracious enough to offer us his stable for the night. The linens you washed before we left served well as swaddling clothes for the baby. Thank you.
Since we were without a bed, the Son of the Most High God had to spend His first night in a manger. Can you imagine? We have had many visitors who have come to see Him. Oh, Ruth, He is a beautiful baby. I'm sure you're wondering if He has my eyes, but I'm afraid you will
just have to wait until you see Him. With love and friendship, Mary. Oh, my friend, I would have given anything to have been with you that night.
That night it's my watch, 3 a.m. The sky is full of stars and the air is quiet, curiously still. And then I notice it, the wind breathing across my skin, whispering something beautiful through the leaves of the olive trees. The sheep hear it, and they look up, and I look up. And there He is, an angel blazing like a torch in the sky, saying, "Don't be afraid, for I bring good news." And then in an instant, the entire sky is on fire with angels, bringing good news from heaven itself.
Mary. Merry Christmas Eve.
Merry Christmas Eve to you too, Gabe.
You're here early.
Yeah, I couldn't sleep.
Nervous?
Yeah.
Well, you should not be nervous about singing. Just let that lovely voice here soar. And you know, people who come here tonight don't expect to hear much. I mean, they know they're coming to hear music and not a sermon.
I know. But, Gabe, I've been feeling something tugging at my heart these last few days.
Really? What's that?
Well, I planned this whole show thing here so that people who struggle with faith in church and things like that could come here and listen to my songs and not feel like it was church. But lately, I don't know, I don't want this to sound hokey or anything, but...
But you feel like God may want you to say something to whoever comes?
Yes.
That doesn't sound hokey at all, Mary.
I don't want to do it, Gabe. I don't even know what God wants me to say to them. I just know that He wants me to say something.
Look, Mary, people who come here tonight aren't looking for a preacher. And you just said so yourself. This is for people who don't want to go to church. Why do you think I opened this coffee shop, Mary? The town didn't really need another corner store selling coffee and muffins. I mean, people live in the real world, and coffee and muffins are already a part of that world. You know, Mary, church isn't just for Sundays. It's for Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, all the days of the week. You know, people don't go to church every day, but that doesn't mean that we stop being the church every day.
Be the church.
Yeah, and any mention of church in the Bible isn't about the building that people go into. It's about a group of people who believe in and follow Jesus Christ and what He was all about. I mean, Mary, that's why I opened this coffee shop, so that I could be the church Monday through Saturday and not just on Sundays. And look around you. There's no pews. There's no steeple. But God is here. And because you're here, and I'm here, and Beth is here, and every other Christian who walks through that door is here too, then the church is here. So, you know, Mary, when people come in here and they enjoy a cup of our coffee or a smile or an encouraging word, even though they don't like going to church, they do like the church.
But a lot of people don't like going to church, Gabe.
Do you blame them?
No, not with all the crazies out there.
There are a lot of misguided Christians who claim to love Jesus, but you know, they just don't live like it. They start to hate sin so much that they hate the sinner as well. But Mary, Jesus loves that sinner, and He loves them still. Some churches miss that mark by inches, some by miles, and some by light years. But Mary, tonight, you're going to be that breath of fresh air that these people need to experience, because they need to experience that real Jesus, that kind, compassionate, and joyful Jesus that I see shining in you.
Well, thank you, Gabe. But I still don't know what I'm going to say to them tonight.
You know what? Maybe God wants you to trust Him with this one. I mean, He's good. He's going to help you know what to say when the time comes. He won't leave you hanging.
I haven't seen it snow like that in years.
Merry Christmas Eve, Beth.
Back at you, Gabe. They've got the roads cleared off pretty well, and it's supposed to stop by noon, so you should have a pretty good crowd out tonight, Mary.
She's a little nervous.
Oh, sweetheart, you'll be lovely. God is smiling already. I'm sure of it.
Well, thank you, Beth.
Zach and I will be here, and we'll have little Johnny with us. So if he cries, which is pretty likely, then he'll take some of the spotlight off of you.
That sounds like a plan.
Light a candle for the old man who sits staring at a frosty window pane. Light a candle for the woman who is lonely and every Christmas is the same. For the children who need more than presents can bring. Light a candle, light a dark, light the world, light a heart or two. Light a candle for me, light a candle for you. Light a candle.
Extra cold out there today, so make mine extra hot, please.
And Merry Christmas to you, Manny.
Merry Christmas.
Eli?
Thank you.
This is the whitest Christmas I've seen in my life.
He would be proud.
Here you are.
Thank you.
And for you, where's Walter this morning?
Oh, well, when I called him, he picked up the phone, coughed slightly, and said,
I'm sick.
It was all very convincing. I think I'll drink his.
Okay. Does it get any colder?
Probably.
Hey, welcome back. Glad you could join us.
It's probably no surprise, but our flight was delayed. And then it was delayed again. And then it was canceled. Needless to say, we're booked on a later flight.
How much later?
Tomorrow morning later.
So until then, I could use a very hot cup of coffee.
We've had two very hot cups of coffee.
Christmas in a strange town with strange people.
Strange people?
Oh, no, I didn't mean strange as in odd.
Oh, that's okay. I know, a stranger's just a friend that you don't know yet.
Honestly, I was pretty relieved when I saw the red cancel message start blinking across the departure board. For the first time in a long time, Christmas might actually be peaceful.
So, Beth, you know any good churches around here?
Sure, lots of them. There's one that my husband and I attend. It's about a mile away. Then there's the one that Gabe goes to. It's about a block away. Mary goes there, too. It's the white one on the corner.
Thought I was going to get out of this one.
Well, there's always the show here tonight at the coffee shop, the one that Mary's having. It's not church, exactly, but I'll be here. Gabe will, too, along with a bunch of our family and friends.
7:30 or 8? 8, right?
That's right. Free coffee starts at 7:30.
Oh, can we go, Shep? I know it's not church like you're used to, and you're so attached to your traditions, but...
Mary, it's Mary, right?
Yes.
Well, it looks like we'll see you later tonight, then.
How wonderful. We'll be so glad to have you.
Yeah. We'll see you later.
See you later.
Merry Christmas.
I guess just in case is the case. Merry Christmas, Beth and Mary.
Merry Christmas.
Checkmate.
this little baby boy would come and fulfill the prophecies of his birth, and of his life and death and resurrection. He would be the Lamb, looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne. God exalted him to the highest place and gave him a name above every name, that every knee should bow and tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You are worthy to take the scrolls and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise.
Given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace.
Who can these men be? Why are they here? Why do they wasting carriage time? Maybe they've come here to bring an offering. I'm a king, so they bring all the praise that is mine. So, what brings you here to our land? Will you please help me understand why you bring such a grand caravan to visit the mighty King of Israel?
We have come from afar, following a star that will lead us to the newborn King of the Jews.
Can you tell us where he is?
Can you tell us all that?
We may go and worship him.
How can this be? There's only one king, and it's me! 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 But wait. If they will tell me the child's whereabouts, I can have this newborn king taken out. Then there will never be a sliver of doubt that Herod is king. So, I have spoken to the priests and scribes. They say the scriptures have identified that Bethlehem is the place where you'll find the child that you've been looking for. Please listen before you leave. When you find him, report back to me so that I may go and worship him too. Worship him.
Did you hear that, little one? Wise men, kings from afar, worshiping you. Shepherds have been here too, and angels, both the royal and the ragged, the heavenly and the human, are celebrating that God chose now to give you to us. God chose now to give you to me. Who am I that I would be the mother of my Lord? That I would birth the Messiah who would set us free from the never-ending sacrifice of lambs for our sin? How will you do it, my little one? My little lamb? It is fitting that a king is the only one who can pardon a prisoner like me and set her free. And you are a king, the high king of heaven. I always imagined I would have a son, but I never imagined a king.
He is the King.
The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, born to set me free.
Born to
set us free.
Free from shame.
Free from guilt.
Free from death.
The God who spoke light into existence has now spoken His divine plan into motion.
His plan to save us.
His plan to redeem us.
For good. I have prayed for my Savior to come.
We all have.
For 1,500 years. And now, our God has answered.
He is here.
He is here.
Jesus is here.
love unfolded. The curtain was open while an audience of angels was holding its breath. A sentence from danger to travel-worn strangers. The stage was battling death. Angels folded their wings as the gong was ringing. As God whispered, I love you, my son. Took off his crown and laid it down. Said, Father, thy will be done. Thou man now come, for God's only son. Be born as a light in a dark, lonely place. He sat in heaven above, Bethlehem's door. But a girl in his newborn face. Gabriel, the gladness is here. Play the trumpet, the horn, and the string. Now the shepherds arise and now we're here. The middle of the angels to sing. Fill the sky with your voices and sing. Let it
I heard it for the first time during the holiday season. One year, the first time I heard it was on Halloween. I guess people are trying to celebrate Christmas earlier and earlier every year, and it's no wonder why. This next song is one of my favorites, and probably one of yours too. Like I said, this next song is one of my favorites, and probably one that most of you know. But before I start, I'd just like to say something. No sermon or anything like that, so don't worry. I love Christmas so much, but I haven't always. You see, when I was a kid, Santa brought most of the presents that I opened each year. But the biggest and the best Christmas present always came from my parents. One year, in the weeks leading up to Christmas, my mother had been out every single night looking for this perfect bike in the color that I had been begging her and Dad for. She was out Christmas Eve, and so was a drunk driver. I spent Christmas Day in the hospital and New Year's Day in the funeral home. I was 9. My father took it pretty hard, and it took less than a year for him to leave. I guess the pressure of being a single parent was just too much for him. My mother had been an only child like me, and her parents had passed away. My father, his parents were in a nursing home, and he'd long ago burned bridges with his sister, so I had no one who would take me. On my 10th birthday, I entered my first foster home. My first foster parents made me go to church with them every single Sunday. And they used to tell me I was a bad little girl because I didn't like going to church. But they didn't listen when I told them that the kids would make fun of me for not knowing the tunes of the songs, and that the teachers would make me sit in the corner for not knowing the answers to all the stories. When I was 14, I entered my fourth foster home. They had a teenage daughter. She was a little older than me. We were both enrolled in a Catholic high school. She liked to party hard, and she was drunk most of the time. And one day they found drugs in her backpack. She told them they were mine, and they weren't, but that didn't matter. It was on to the next foster home, where they actually encouraged safe drinking and experimenting. I had lots of friends then. I was 15, and it wasn't long before I was getting drunk and wasted and experimenting with different drugs. But those foster parents, they made sure that I was sobered up every single Sunday morning when we had marched off to church, where we looked like, we sang like, we acted like everyone else who was there. My father was even a leader of one of the small men's groups, and my mother was involved in the church preschool. When I was 17, I was taken out of the foster care system because no one would take me. I was a known drug abuser, I was defiant, I would sneak out, and I had ridden the back of a cop car at least half a dozen times. No one wanted me, until I met Anne. She was 42, a widow. She said she would take me, and so she became foster home number 7. Lucky 7. Anne was patient. I used to shout at her that I hated her, but she'd always shout back, "Mary, I love you." I would sneak out, and she'd ground me. She'd find cigarettes in my closet, she'd take away my cell phone and ground me, but she always told me that she loved me. And every single Sunday morning, she'd come wake me up gently and say, "Mary, would you like to come to church with me this Sunday?" I always said no, but one day I said yes. Don't ask me why. Maybe I was still half asleep or something. But the next thing I know, I'm in Anne's car, and it was here that a million thoughts and feelings started to rush across my mind. What am I doing here? They're going to hate me. I don't belong there. I'm not their kind. And I began to feel like that 10-year-old girl who was going to church only to be ridiculed for not knowing all the tunes for the song or the answers to the questions. And I was scared. But Anne just kept smiling and driving. And as we walked into the church, my heart in my throat, it was here that other smiles greeted me. And I even got a hug from their church hugger. I went back the next week, and the next week, and the week after that, because I felt loved there, and I felt accepted there, and that was something that I hadn't felt in a very, very long time, except by Anne. I went off to college, and the little faith that I had got lost in the shuffle of the crowd. And if I'm honest with myself, I guess my faith was more in Anne than it was in Jesus. So, church was regulated to twice a year, Christmas and Easter. One day, I walked into a coffee shop that I had walked into almost every day that year. And the man across the counter asked me if I was going home for Christmas. I told him I wasn't, what with an demanding internship and the cost of the trip. So he asked me if I'd like to go to church with him that Christmas Eve. I said, sure. Got to check off trip number 2 to church this year. And then he looked at me and he said, you know, God has a lot more to offer you than what you're getting at church twice a year. He said, imagine if you were there when a little baby boy was born, and then you saw that boy twice a year, and then some 30 years later, that boy died. Would you feel like you knew him? And would you feel like he knew you? And could you even call that a relationship? I realized he was right, and so I went with him. And my third year of college, when I was 23 years old, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and my life has never been the same since. You see, when people go to church twice a year like I did, they're just completely missing the point. Because between the giants of Christmas and Easter, an entire life was lived. Jesus lived, and he lived really well. Don't get me wrong, I understand why people don't like going to church. The hypocrisy, the judgmental looks, and the irreverence to my life. But those things, that's just people messing church up. That's what they don't like, but that is not Jesus. And if you just give him a chance, I think you'll find him the most amazing friend and the most loving companion. And you can ask me about him. You can ask Gabe here, or Beth, or Anne. Hi, Anne. Just ask, seek, and knock, because God is just waiting for you at that door. I love this next song.
Justify their sin. Every nation that is fallen has fallen from within. Yet in the midst of this darkness, there's hope, a light that burns. This little child, the King of Kings, one day will
We trust that you were blessed and encouraged tonight as you heard the true Christmas song. Christmas is not about what you see out there. You're going to leave this place tonight. You'll see all kinds of Christmas lights, and you're going to the shopping center and see all kinds of Christmas trees and Christmas presents. That's not the meaning of Christmas. Christmas is about Jesus Christ. If you look above me, you'll see a sign that says Ambassadors for Christ. That's who we are. We're not here to preach church to you. We're here to preach Christ to you. This evening when I began and opened up in prayer, I read to you a passage of Scripture from the book of Isaiah the prophet. He said, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders." And listen to what he says, "And he will be called Wonderful." I think of that word, wonderful. What does it mean that Jesus Christ is wonderful? It means that Jesus Christ is wonderful for all that he has been. He is the incarnate Savior. He is God with us. Jesus was born of a virgin. He is not an ordinary man. The Bible says that the virgin will be with child and give birth to a son. John says this, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life is the light of men." And then he says this, "The Word became flesh and lived for a while among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who was with the Father, but is now revealed to us." Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God made flesh. That's why He's wonderful. He's God made in human flesh. He's also wonderful because not only is He the incarnate Savior, but listen, He's the crucified Savior. He came into this world for one reason, and that reason was to die for sinners like us. He went to the cross. The Bible says, "For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God." That's what Christmas is all about. It's not about Jesus coming in here to save you from having a bad life. It's about Jesus coming into this world to save us from a real problem, and that problem is the problem of sin. That's why there's wars in this world, and that's why there's problems in our families, is because there's a real problem in our heart. We're sinners by nature, and we're sinners by choice. We need a Savior who can deliver us from that sin. That's not where the story ends. We don't worship a Savior who stayed on that cross. On the third day, the Bible says, Jesus Christ rose again from the dead, and He is Lord. The Bible says, "Therefore God has exalted Him to the highest place. He's given Him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." That is truth. Jesus Christ is Lord, whether you accept Him or not, whether you believe in Him or not, He is Lord. And you will bow before Him one day, whether in this world or in the life to come. You will bow before Jesus Christ and you will say, "Jesus, You are Lord." If you bow to Him now, you'll bow to Him as a loving, redeeming Savior who will save you from your sins. If you bow to Him then, you will bow before your judge and be condemned for your sins. He's wonderful for all that He has been. He's also wonderful for all that He is. He is the redeeming Savior. The angel came to Joseph and said, "Don't be afraid, Joseph, to take Mary as your wife, because that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She'll give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Isn't that glorious? Christ came to save us from our sins. He is the redeeming Savior, the Savior who can change your life, the Savior who can give you a new heart. We're not preaching religion. We're not preaching church. We're preaching a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus will change your life. Jesus will cleanse your sin to remove that burden of sin that you have, that guilt for all those bad things you've done. You heard Mary at the beginning talking about the law of God. This person, she could not keep the law of God. None of us can keep the law of God. We need a Savior who kept the law for us, Christ, who can cleanse us from all our sins. Jesus is wonderful for all that He has been. He's wonderful for all that He is. And listen to me, Jesus Christ will be wonderful for all that He will be. He came the first time, born in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, but Christ is coming again on a white horse to bring salvation to all those who are waiting for Him and to judge those who rejected the word. He will be wonderful in that day. Our plea to you tonight, if you don't know Christ, is to come to the Savior whose arms are wide open to you. He will receive anyone who comes to Him. That's what Jesus said, all that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, Jesus said, I will never turn away. Do you feel the burden of sin tonight? Are you here maybe tonight and you feel the weight of guilt and sin? You're thinking about your life. You're thinking about maybe what lies beyond the grave. We're all headed there. We're all moving toward that place where we will stand before God. This life will be over. Our plea to you tonight is to come to Christ so that you can know that your sins have been forgiven, so that you can know that you have eternal life. You know what the Bible says? This is the testimony. God has given us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that has the Son has life. He that does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. It is by grace we are saved through faith. That is not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. I pray that no one here tonight would leave this place thinking that's just a fable. It's just a joke. It's not true. I challenge you, if you're in that frame of mind, I challenge you to test Jesus. I challenge you to disprove the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, the Apostle Paul said, if Christ is not risen, then let's eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow we die. But if He is risen from the dead, He is Lord. That's what makes Christianity so different than any other religion in the world. Every other religious leader is dead. He's buried, but Christ is risen from the dead. Please receive Christ. The Bible says if you receive Him, He will give you the right to become a child of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you so, so much for the true Christmas story. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, you sent Him into this world to die for us. And Father, we thank you and praise you that salvation is not earned by righteous works, but only through the grace of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that when you do save us, you don't leave us the way we were. You clean us, you change us, and you make us more and more holy, just like you are. Father, we pray for anyone here tonight who may not know Christ, that they would leave this place thinking about life and thinking about death and thinking about eternity, thinking about you. And we pray, Father, that you would open their hearts and bring them to the foot of the cross. And Father, we'll give you thanks and praise for the great Savior that you've given to us. May your name be glorified in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you so, so much for coming tonight. We'd like you to stay. We have some refreshments, cake and coffee and juice in the other room. Just go out this door, turn to the right, go down the hall. We'd love you to stay, get to know us. We'd like to get to know you. And may God bless you and have a Merry Christmas.